morning of whatever's on your mind, toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line as we launch into the first hour of the program tonight. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Features there we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. I'm going to start things out tonight with a story I mentioned last night, and just we got derailed by phone calls and never got to it. And it is a story that needs to be told. So we'll start with it. It's from sot.net, S-O-T-T.net. The story of Eva, I'm going to have a tough time with this last name, Arnadottir. She is from Iceland. And this is written in her words. She tried to come and visit the United States for a bit of a fun time with some of her friends. And, well, it turned out to be anything but a fun time.
No fun in the U.S.
During the last 24 hours, I have probably experienced the greatest humiliation to which I have ever been subjected. During these last 24 hours, I have been handcuffed, chained, denied my chance to sleep, been without food and drink, and been confined to a place without anyone knowing my whereabouts, in prison. Now I'm beginning to try to understand all this, rest and review the events which began as innocently as possible. Last Sunday, I and a few other girls began our trip to New York. We were going to shop and enjoy the Christmas spirit. We made ourselves comfortable on first class, drank white wine, and looked forward to going shopping, eating good food, and enjoying life. So, vacation with a girlfriend. Sounds like a good time. When we landed at JFK Airport, the traditional clearance process began. We were screened and went on to passport control. As I waited for them to finish my examining my passport, I heard an official say there was something which needed to be looked at more closely, and I was directed to the workstation of Homeland Security. There, I was told that according to their records, I had overstayed my visa by 3 weeks in 1995. That's over 10 years ago.
13 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
For this reason, I would not be admitted into the country and would be sent home on the next flight. I looked at the official in disbelief and told them that I had, in fact, visited New York after the trip in 1995 without encountering any difficulties. A detailed interrogation session ensued. I was photographed and fingerprinted. I was asked questions which I felt had nothing to do with the issue at hand. I was forbidden to contact anyone to advise of my predicament, and although I was invited at the outset to contact the Icelandic consular embassy, that invitation was later withdrawn. I still don't know why.
I don't know how they can withdraw it.
Well, they're in charge, see? They have guns, and you're in handcuffs, so they can do whatever they want. I was then made to wait while they sought further information and sat on a chair before the authority for 5 hours. I saw the officials in this section handle other cases, and it was clear that these were men anxious to demonstrate their power. Small kings with megalomania. I was careful to remain completely cooperative, for I did not yet believe that they planned to deport me because of my crime. When 5 hours had passed, and how dare these people try to come here and enjoy good food? How dare they try to come and visit museums and have a good time with their girlfriends?
Right, and, you know, enjoy, you know, the businesses in this country and hanging out here. Can you imagine the hubris that somebody might want to visit the United States and be a tourist and patronize businesses?
Well, when 5 hours had passed and I'd been awake for 24 hours, I was told that they were waiting for officials who would take me to some kind of a waiting room. There I'd be given a bed to rest in, some food, and I would be searched. What they thought they might find, I can't possibly imagine. Finally, guards appeared who transported me to the new place. I saw the bed as if in a mirage, for I was absolutely exhausted. What turned out was something else. I was taken to another office, exactly like the one where I'd been before, and once again, a long wait ensued. In all, it turned out to be 5 more hours. At this office, all my things were taken from me. I succeeded in sending a single text message to worried relatives and friends when I was granted a bathroom break. After that, the cell phone was taken from me. After I'd been sitting in...
What?
They don't want her communicating with her...
Is she under arrest?
She's definitely being detained. And probably, I mean, if you're in some sort of detention area in handcuffs being paraded around, that sounds like an arrest to me.
I'm certain it felt like one.
I mean, maybe it's not an arrest because they're in the process of deporting her, but I don't know what that status is called. If you're an immigration expert and you want to clue us in, 800-259-9231. So they took the cell phone. After I'd been sitting Sitting there for 5 hours, I was told they were now waiting for guards who would take me to a place where I could rest and eat. There, I was placed in a cubicle which looked like an operating room. Attached to the walls were four steel plates, probably intended to serve as a bed and a toilet. I was exhausted, tired, and hungry. I didn't understand the officials' conduct, for they were treating me like a very dangerous criminal. You know, people that overstay their visa by 3 weeks, apparently, those are suspected criminals, because we all know that criminals... Well, wait a minute. Now, if you're a criminal, you'd probably be very, very careful to not break the laws. You'd probably... I mean, if you were an actual criminal or a terrorist, you'd probably want to make sure your visa was in tip-top shape, so as to not encounter suspicion like this. But nonetheless... she says here, soon thereafter I was removed from that cubicle and two armed guards placed me up against a wall. A chain was fastened around my waist and I was handcuffed to the chain. Then my legs were placed in chains. You ever had your legs shackled, Mark?
Yes.
Where were you?
Prison.
Hmm. I asked for permission to make a telephone call, but they refused. So secured, I was taken from the airport terminal in full sight of everybody. I've seldom felt so bad, so humiliated, and all because I'd taken a longer vacation than allowed under the law. They wouldn't tell me where they were taking me. The trip took close to 1 hour, and although I couldn't see clearly outside the vehicle, I knew that we'd crossed over into New Jersey. We ended up in front of a jail, and I could hardly believe this was happening. Was I really about to be imprisoned? I was led inside the chains, and yet there... I was led inside in chains, and yet... And there, yet another interrogation and session ensued. I was fingerprinted once again and photographed. I was made to undergo a medical examination. I was searched, and then I was placed in a jail cell. I was asked absurd questions, such as, when did you have your last period?
What?
What do you believe in? Have you ever tried to commit suicide? I was completely exhausted, tired, and cold. 14 hours after I'd landed, I finally had something to eat and drink for the first time. I was given porridge and bread, but it didn't help much. I was afraid, and the attitude of all who handled me was abysmal, to say the least.
Do you know what porridge is?
No.
Me either. I think it's oatmeal.
It's some sort of British thing, yeah?
Well, but it was here in the United States.
Yeah, oh. Some kind of, like, gruel almost. Like a grainy soup.
Sounds like really high-quality food they're handing out here to these prisoners. These suspects, I guess you could say. Anyway, she says they didn't speak to me as much as snap at me. Really, customer service, very important to these government bureaucrats.
Mm.
Just being rude in general, because they can. It doesn't matter if... I mean, they can be as rude as they want to. What are you going to do, complain? They don't care. Once again, I was asked to make a telephone call, and this time the answer was positive. I was relieved, but the relief was short-lived, for the telephone was set up for collect calls only, and it was not possible to make overseas calls. Remember, she's from Iceland. The jail guard held my cell phone in his hand. I explained to him that I couldn't make a call from the jail telephone and asked to be allowed to make one call from my own phone. That was out of the question. I spent the next...
It could be a detonator.
I spent the next 9 hours in a small, dirty cell. The only thing in there was a narrow steel board which extended out from the wall, sink, and toilet. I wish I never experienced again in my life the feeling of confinement and helplessness which I experienced there. I was hugely relieved when, at last, I was told I was to be taken to the airport, that is to say, until I was again handcuffed and chained. Then I could take no more, and broke down and cried.
Right, because you know, she's going to run away on her way to the airport where she's going to be set free.
I begged them to at least leave out the leg chains this time, but my request was ignored. When we arrived at the airport, another jail guard took pity on me and removed the leg chains. Even so, I was led through a full airport terminal, handcuffed and escorted by armed men. I felt terrible. On seeing this, people must think that there goes a very dangerous criminal. In this condition, I was led up into the Icelandair waiting room and was kept handcuffed until I entered the embarkation corridor. I was completely run down by all this in both body and spirit. Fortunately, I could count on good people, and both the captain and the crew did all they could to try to assist me. My friend was in close contact with my sister. The embassy had been contacted. However, all had received misleading information, and all had been told that I'd been detained at the airport terminal, not that I'd been put in jail. She says now the foreign ministry is looking into the matter, and she hopes to receive some explanation as to why she was treated in this way. Now then...
I'll tell you why. Because our whole customs and TSA agency is just out of control.
Let's talk about it here in a moment. 800-259-9231. If you've got a story, love to hear you share it. This is Free Talk Live.
Carrying around extra pounds is hard on your body and your emotions. Do you want to take some weight off? Diets are a dime a dozen, and they all work a little bit, but they require people to change their lives and forego the foods they love. I've been introduced by a doctor to a product that can cause you to lose up to 25 pounds in just 9 days without requiring you to permanently change your diet. Go to FTLDiscount.com, read some real testimonials, and find out how to order. FTLDiscount.com. It doesn't matter if you have a little to lose or a whole lot. FTLDiscount.com. There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the total transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, it is your show. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features there we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. Those features include, by the way, live streams. We've got broadband versions and dial-up versions of the show. Head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy those for free on us. Once again, to tune into live streams, freetalklive.com. 800-259-9231. The Free State Project's Porcupine Freedom Festival, better known as Porkfest, is June 9th through the 15th. At Porkfest, you'll be able to meet hundreds of individuals who, just like you, cherish liberty and are living the goal of liberty in our lifetime. Discover new freedoms, new communities, and new beginnings. Learn more at porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com. The story is from a lady in Iceland who had apparently come to the United States back in 1995, and at that time, she apparently stayed a little bit longer than she her visa was to allow her to stay. She stayed 3 weeks longer. She was there on vacation at the time. She decided that, I don't know, maybe
she likes the United States?
Yeah, maybe she didn't think it was that big of a deal at that time, and maybe it wasn't. And so she stuck around. Well, now she decided she wanted to come back. How dare she decide she wants to come back and visit New York City again and spend money in our economy? I mean, how the hubris of this woman. Who does she think she is? That's at least the attitude of the government, because they then proceeded to take her and lock her into several different detaining facilities, one in the airport itself. She was moved from cubicle to cubicle, from cell to cell, moved eventually to a jail in New Jersey, where she was held for another 9 hours before they actually ended up taking her back. I mean, this was like, she was held for about 24 hours, basically, fed once, and then put on an airplane to go back to Iceland. And yelled at, shackled, just treated like dirt.
Let's try to step back for a second and look at this. Now, you know, these people have their rules, and obviously they didn't deviate from them because they transported her in every manner like she was, like she had bombed the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
So I can understand them doing their jobs, but it seems a little crazy to me, like a little nuts to have this level of detainment and incarceration and sort of punishment and scare tactic for somebody who's, you know, coming here to spend money. Yeah. And, you know, the way you would differentiate those, I suppose that one of the terrorists may have overstayed their visa at one point or another, but does that mean that everybody who overstayed their... The terrorists had telephones, too. Everybody's got a telephone. The terrorists, you know, everybody had beards. Everybody had a beard. What is the, you know, I don't know. It's so nuts. It just doesn't make any sense.
I don't think we have too many terrorists coming out of Iceland either, which, you know, if you actually apply common sense to it, it does make a whole lot of sense. And you think if they were simply going to deny her entry to the United States, they'd simply say, sorry, you can't come in. You're on the next plane out. Why detain her for such a long period of time and question her?
I mean, perhaps the next plane wasn't until the next day.
Perhaps, but you think you could just let her sit in the office and not shackle her and take her to jail in New Jersey?
Yeah, but you know, that would require them to be humane and actually act like human beings would want to be treated, or act in the way they might want to be treated.
If they're gonna detain her, there's probably no manner to detain her that doesn't, you know, she can't, as far as they're concerned, she can't cross from, you know, that. Across the customs line, otherwise they've lost her, and then they're in big trouble. So I can see detaining her. I can't see the, you know, that and the whole the shackling thing. I mean, that's just what they do. You know, that's what they do.
Well, you're only seeing this, Mark, in the perspective of this is their job, and it's their job that's insane. It's their job that's the problem. Their job is to screen all these potential individuals that want to come here and either move to make a better life for themselves or just come here and enjoy a vacation. The idea that these people should be subject to any of this scrutiny is absurd.
Do you think that the people on the ground, the TSA agents, customs agents, whatever, on the ground right there made any mistakes?
Well, they made a mistake by taking the job they're doing.
So they're involved in the monolith. I get that. But what I'm trying to critique and what we're trying to figure out is what can we do otherwise?
Besides abolish the TSA and return airport security to the airports themselves?
I would do that. But maybe a step in between, because customs has you know, traditionally been a government issue. This isn't just a TSA issue. This is a customs issue.
Okay, customs, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, governments handle those things. So what do we do? I think that, first off, I mean, you're talking about an Icelandic national, not just a person who's come through Iceland, but, you know, she's got blonde hair, everybody. Her last name's Icelandic.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear that we're not dealing with
you know, Osama bin Laden here.
Well, you can't jump to conclusions, though, Mark. If your job is to screen for potential troublemakers,
right.
She's a rule breaker, and therefore should be treated like a lawbreaker.
I certainly don't want to give them any room on this, but I'm trying to figure out something that, you know, some other way that this could be handled.
There's no other way beyond just paring down the bureaucracy and getting rid of it entirely. Because as long as you allow government to exist, it will always trend in the direction of increasing its control over others.
Well, you can say it trends in that direction, but it hasn't always been to this extent. We haven't always had a security climate like we have now. I think if she had come before 2001, I think she would have, either we would have let her through. Cause
she said that it happened. She said she'd visited after 1995 and no problems.
Right. So you get through fine. But the American people, by and large, most of them, a lot of them anyway, if not most, want a security climate like this. They feel that we're unsafe without having this kind of absurd security, and that's where the real problem
lies. That is the problem, in the hearts and minds of Americans.
I mean, we can blame the TSA agents for taking the job, but, you know, there's a lot more to overcome in the general public than just the TSA.
Right. The TSA, the Customs Department's never going to get phased down unless we can change the minds of Americans and help them understand what liberty is all about and why freedom works, where this the security state is just more of security theater than anything else. They're not actually being kept safe. It's just inconveniencing people and driving people away from this country. Because the other side of this story is that this isn't an unusual case.
Not terrible.
There have been plenty of people that have come here to try to go on vacation or go on some business trip and have been harassed by the government officials in this country, and it has pissed them off so much that they've just thrown in the towel on America. They've said, screw this. We're not having our business meetings here anymore. We're not coming back here to go to Disney World. We can go to Disney World in Europe if we want to. You know, we're not going to come here on vacation. We have no use for this United States anymore. And in fact, visitation has dropped dramatically, precipitously.
It's down 20%, and you know, there was a sort of a poll held among people that were visiting the country, and 33% of them, the ones after the 20% drop, had said they're never coming back. I don't know how many of them actually will, but you know, do we want that for our businesses? Do we want that as far as tourism in the United States? I know that some people really don't care because their business doesn't rely on that, but that what they don't understand is we're becoming a pariah. We're becoming the crotchety old man down the street of the world.
Yeah, but it's worse than that. The crotchety old man doesn't abduct young women off the front sidewalk.
And get off my lawn, kid.
Take them into their house and molest them. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. If you want to talk about your airport experience, especially if you've been traveling internationally, we'd love to hear from you. 800-259-9231. Otherwise, we'll tell you about the 10-finger scanners that are coming to an airport near you.
How would you like to have a tool to use at home that you can use anytime that helps reduce back pain, sciatica, hip pain, and more? A tool that helps relieve the pain and doesn't just treat the symptoms. You need the Sacrowedgesacral Stabilizer. One satisfied user states, "I don't believe in gadgets, but this is a miracle." Yes, that's right. Just relax 20 minutes daily or when needed to help correct a muscle imbalance that creates many of these symptoms. Gravity does the work with the sacrowedgie under the sacrum and support under your neck. Help correct posture to help relieve the pain. Better balance equals fewer problems. You can even sit on the sacrowedgie at the computer or while traveling. This device has been helping people for the past 15 years, yet the cost is still just $29.95. Finally, something available that really relieves those stubborn aches and pains.
Order your sacrowedgie now and get a free instructional DVD. Just call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Or visit sacrowedgie.com. That's sacrowedgie.com.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with another Car Clinic Minute. You don't have to be Tim the Toolman Taylor with every gadget in the book to prepare yourself for many automotive emergencies. But do you know the tools you should have in your trunk? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Cindy. Wow, this is the second time I've seen you at the gas station this week.
Ah, the life of a soccer mom. I'm always gassing up.
If this is the story of your life, make your next oil change a change to Royal Purple High Performance Oil. Royal Purple can reduce fuel consumption by as much as 5%. So go to royalpurple.com for a dealer near you.
Royal Purple, the performance oil that outperforms.
Even if you have no intention of repairing your car yourself, here are some tools that may help out in an emergency. A simple set of screwdrivers and socket wrenches, jumper cables, an adjustable wrench, wire cutters, a coat hanger, and Tim the Toolman's favorite, duct tape. And did you know that all cellular phones, even those with no subscriber service, can still be used to call 911? There's no cellular bill, but the phone, which just calls 911, should be used only in emergencies. I'm Bobby Likas. Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Free Talk Live. It is your show. Bring up whatever's on your mind via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Features for free. So enjoy those on us. They include the updates. Get signed up. Keep you in the loop whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Just go to updates.freetalklive.com to get on the list. It's free, of course. That's updates.freetalklive.com.
Do you have a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections? SACL CAI does collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. SACL's employers are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but you want to keep those clients, too. SACL CAI. Check out their banner at freetalklive.com and do business with businesses to support Free Talk Live.
1-800-259-9231. All right, so we've started the hour out by talking about this horrific story from an Icelandic woman who just tried to come here to enjoy a vacation with some girlfriends. She was stopped, harassed, subjected to torturous conditions. They weren't feeding her. They were just treating her awful, shackling her, moving her from place to place, and depriving her of sleep. I mean, it was just an awful situation, all because she wanted to come here to this country, and it just really shows how draconian and frightening the process to come here has become. And it really points out why so many people from around the world are not interested in coming back to the United States. What was the word you used? Pariah? Before?
That was the word.
Yeah. People are sick and tired of being treated like trash. They're sick and tired of being treated like criminals when they haven't done anything wrong. Okay, she stayed a little later on her visa back in 1995.
And she'd been here between 95 and now.
Right.
To, I assume, visit New York and spend some money.
So it's an outrageous story, and it's not the only one out there. In fact, we're going to talk here in a little bit about the new technology that you might see coming to an airport near you that's going to involve scanning your fingerprints. not in the way that you might have thought they were going to be scanning your fingerprints. They're going to be doing all 10. We'll give you the details. First, we go to the phones, though. Talk to Philip in California. Philip, you're on Free Talk Live. Philip? California? Philip? Going
Hello?
First?
Hello?
Hello, Philip. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey. First, I want to talk about public schools, but really just first I want to bring in my two cents about travel security. You know, not only is the TSA just like a huge, you know, it invades our liberties, you know, et cetera, et cetera, but also it's completely inefficient. You know, like my brother actually made a mistake. Oh, my God, he could have gotten in so much trouble. He walked through a security checkpoint twice with firecrackers in his pocket, and, you know, they didn't get in. Yeah, so...
Well, there's no metal in a firecracker.
Yeah, I know. We have, you know, and the bureaucrats that just love to flaunt their power. So,
but they do have
those sniffing
machines.
Catch things like that.
That's true. They do have the bomb sniffing machines, but not everyone goes
through
those.
Yeah, only at the huge airports.
Right. And, you know, it's lucky that he didn't go through one of those things because he probably wouldn't have thought about it. And that would have sure set it off. How often does the bomb sniffing machine go off? You know, I've never seen it.
Right.
But I'd just like to talk about schools. And I just moved from... South Carolina to California, and I find it's pretty much the same. You know, we have just, I hear you guys talking about indoctrination, and I totally, completely agree. You know, not only are public schools completely philosophically legitimate in and of themselves, but, you know, they're totally misinforming the public, and they have compulsory attendance. You know, we have, they love talking about things like their cause of the Great Depression. It was, you know, blame it on socialism, of course. I know, it's like socialism, capitalism, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, have, definitely the New Deal. They totally love bringing that up and, you know, talking about how, you know, the government is supposed to protect us and, you know, especially economically at the cost of our liberties. And it's just, I just want to bring that up.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, when it comes to government high school, they, is that what you're referring to, right? High schools?
Oh, yes.
When it comes to government school, they are constantly essentially praising the presidents and the government people of the past who did the most to expand the state. And that's why Abraham Lincoln and FDR are the most lauded of the past presidents, because their presidencies were huge, tremendous steps, you know, in the increase of the size of the state and the power of the government over our lives. Of course, with Lincoln, he preserved the Union by force, by, you know, killing hundreds of thousands of Americans in order to preserve this political setup known as the United States. That was a huge precedent-setting event in this country's history. And then, of course, as you mentioned, FDR with the New Deal and all kinds of socialist wealth redistribution programs being put into play.
Oh, yeah, and totally. And, you know, it's kind of interesting as you bring up, you know, hey, well, let's talk about capitalism. And they're like, well, we tried laissez-faire capitalism in, you know, the 1800s. And I'm like, no, you didn't. You had, even by the mid-1800s, you have tariffs, you have, you know, huge, you know, national banks, you know, just massive intervention in the economies. You can't call that laissez-faire.
You certainly
can.
Yeah. So are you still in high school in California?
Yeah, I'm a junior.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
I just kind of got into the libertarian movement and started actually a libertarian club in my school, but unfortunately there's no libertarian teachers to be our advisor, so we have some guy who actually votes communist to be our advisor.
Oh, great.
Oh.
Yes.
At least you got one, I guess.
Yeah,
they won't allow you to form a club unless you have a teacher to sponsor it, right?
Yeah.
So how do you know that there's no libertarian teachers? I mean,
Well, actually, I went around talking to many of them, and some of them actually share my views. Some of them have done that, but the few that actually would even be considered close to believing in free markets and, you know, liberty, personal liberty, they all were already advisors to clubs, or they weren't interested. So.
I see.
Yeah, I kind of figured that there would be, there's got to be somebody out there that believes in economic freedom to some extent.
So,
to some extent. You really
have to. You say you're a junior in high school. That probably puts you at what, 16, 17 years old?
Yeah, 17.
So what was it that turned you on to the liberty movement?
Actually, I had been talking to a friend who was he's a big, you know, independent. You know, I was, it still kind of amazes me. I used to be like a big hardcore neoconservative. I now look at those guys and I'm like, wow, was I really that stupid? And, I was seeing they're all talking about free markets, right? And I started thinking that, you know, how can... That's kind of contradictory. You talk about freedom in the marketplace, but not freedom in, as far as personal liberties.
Mm.
And, you know, especially in schools, you know, for example, the Republican Party now is, you know, totally for big government control of schools, especially at the federal level.
yeah.
you know, No Child Left Behind, et cetera. And I'm like, you know, this doesn't make any sense. Found Ron Paul on the internet and took off.
Wow, there you go. So was it Ron Paul that kind of led you this way?
Yeah, Ron Paul was like the final thing that kind of pulled it all together. And I'm like, wow, there's one solid philosophy that kind of, you know, makes sense.
How long did it take you to understand the philosophy? Not very long, or was it a relatively...
Actually, I kind of just jumped headfirst into it. I've been reading a lot of, you know, Ludwig von Mises and Murray Rothbard and stuff, and just absolutely brilliant economists. Oh, and Bastiat, too.
Oh, very good. Sounds like you're well on your way to understanding liberty and freedom, and congratulations, dude. Any other thoughts tonight?
No.
Let us know what happens with
your
Libertarian
show.
Club, and if you have any other interesting encounters with your teachers at school. It's always interesting to hear from young people in America that are still inside the government indoctrination camps. Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. 800-259-9231.
Well, I met up with a former colleague of mine from our government indoctrination center on the street when we were doing just before the primaries here in New Hampshire, and I was doing a sine wave for Ron Paul,
mm-hmm.
and he used to be a big-time neoconservative. We used to talk politics in high school, used to argue a lot, and he's actually been reading Ayn Rand, and he said he was actually starting to lean towards Ron Paul, and he,
interesting.
You know, I just kind of said, oh, that's cool, but he was the one who kept talking to me
mm-hmm.
about Ayn Rand and about free markets and freedom of choice for like 30 minutes. So
wow, nice.
It's good to see. So, you know, if you're still in high school,
he was trying to convert you.
Well, maybe he was trying to get me to be an objectivist. But if you're still in high school, don't be afraid to argue with your teachers. The best thing,
yeah.
What's
the worst they can do to you?
Well, the best thing you can do is to be well read, because they'll try to talk down to you. But sometimes, especially if they're a new teacher, if you read, you know, strongly into the subject matter, you do your own reading, sometimes you'll know more than they do. I mean, no offense to, I know there's some good public high school teachers out there, but a lot of them don't know all that much. They just started college and they have a teaching degree. If you can out-talk them, you can embarrass them in front of the classroom.
Absolutely.
That's what I like to do.
And arguing is probably not the way to go about it exactly. You know, try to be more convincing and you know, use as few you statements as possible, but, you know,
more on the way. This is your show. You can bring up anything. 800-259-9231. Well, keep talking about dealing with statist authoritarian teachers here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Formaldehyde, boric acid, styrene, butadiene, TDI. These are just some of the chemicals used to make conventional mattresses. Is this what you want to be breathing every night? Scientists worry about these chemicals' effects on the developing brains of children, but they're not good for anybody, especially people with allergies. Latex mattresses made by Savirest are made of natural latex rubber with no off-gassing chemicals, and dust mites can't live in them. Go to Savirest.com and buy a latex mattress today. Savirest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of. You cannot truly appreciate the beauty of a Silver Liberty dollar until you hold one in your hand. The way it catches the light, the heft of an ounce of silver, and the profile of Lady Liberty as she ponders a future bright with hope. That hope starts with the Liberty dollar. In just a few short years, over 20 million Liberty dollars are in circulation, with more than 100,000 people using the currency on a daily basis. Go to libertydollar.org. Stop being ripped off. Start using the Liberty dollar and return America to value, $1 at a time. Call 888-LIB-DOLLAR and visit libertydollar.org.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
The IRS garnished my wages, put a lien on our home, and levied our bank accounts. I had no idea what to do. Then my attorney told me about Assured Tax Relief. Calling them was the best thing I've ever done. They got us a settlement with the IRS that we could manage.
Call Assured Tax Relief now for a free consultation. 1-800-203-7479.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Assured Tax Relief has helped thousands of taxpayers settle their debt with the IRS for just pennies on the dollar. Assured Tax Relief can help you. The IRS is offering you a one-time opportunity to pay your debt for much less than you owe. Call Assured Tax Relief now. 1-800-203-7479.
Assured Tax Relief got the IRS to accept just a fraction of what we owed. Thanks, Assured Tax Relief.
Assured Tax Relief's accountants, attorneys, and tax preparers are waiting to help you settle your debt for just pennies on the dollar. Act now before it's too late. Call Assured Tax Relief now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-203-7479. That's 1-800-203-7479.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, folks. Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Caliban Pure Soaps? They're all natural, and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Caliban Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Caliban Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calvin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can bring that one. 800-259-9231. Staples, PAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark, 800-259-9231. Join us on our website, freetalklive.com. The features there, the giveaway. So enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. And by the way, you can also help support the show by becoming an amplifier. Just go to amp.freetalklive.com. It stands for advertise, market, and promote. The idea is you send in $3 a month. We take the money in, turn it right back around, reinvest it into the show, and get more radio stations on board. Thereby, more people would be able to hear the message of freedom and liberty. And that's important. Plus, you get perks like access to the amp-only call-in line, chat room, forum, and more. All the details at amp.freetalklive.com. We were talking a moment ago with a young man who is in the government education or indoctrination system, whatever you'd like to call it, out in California, and he was talking about how it was very difficult, for instance, to find a liberty-minded teacher in order to sponsor a libertarian club that he wanted to create on campus, and was just generally talking about encountering socialist authoritarian teachers in class and how to handle those situations. And we were going around talking about that a moment ago. I wanted to just continue that, because you don't really – the great thing about our position – about the pro-liberty position is you don't really need to know all of the historical facts in order to make a persuasive point.
How can you know all the historical facts?
Right. There'd be no way for you to know everything. I mean, Nick comes close. He seems to have internal compendium of history.
I don't at all. I know more than what they teach at the public high schools, which
yes.
beats about 95%.
Which means you know way more than I do. I can tell you that. But you don't need to know all that. It's helpful. It's useful. But what you really just need to know, the basic principles of liberty and you know, the non-initiation of force and why it is that government is force and why government doesn't work. And many of these things are easy to understand. And if you just read a few books or familiarize yourself with a few different topics, you can pretty much knock them out of the, you know, any points they try to make, the authoritarians, you can just knock them out of the park.
That's true, but what, like, specifically if you're in a history class or a social studies class, because that's usually where this comes up, the teacher is going to try to lead the students many times, not all of them, but a lot of times if you have a leftist-leaning teacher or a statist-leaning teacher, they're going to try to lead the students to a conclusion. They're going to take, for example, the conditions in the factories in the 1800s, and they're going to try to lead them to the conclusion that free market capitalism causes these awful conditions, so you have to regulate the market. But if you can, even if you can't convince everybody that you're necessarily right, you can at least put the idea in their heads that maybe there's more to it than that, that maybe it's better than working on the farm during that time period. If you know what, you know, what life was like, if you happen to have some background in the area, you can kind of make it clear to those listening that maybe this teacher isn't 100% honest or doesn't know 100% of their stuff. And
absolutely.
If you do it in a respectful way, a lot of times the teachers will, you'll be a favorite student because, to be honest, government school is so god-awful boring that most people just don't participate because it's just not engaging.
Sure.
There's one form of teaching and that they teach, and it's not very appealing to anybody. But if you can actually make yourself seem engaged, even if you're being contrary, as long as you're actually doing it within the guidelines of the class, they're probably going to welcome that debate. So it's almost like an invitation to bring your ideas forward
right.
and talk about liberty.
Smart people do want to, you know, they a lot of times do want to discuss ideas and, you know, see, you know, which ones do better. And if you can discuss an idea without being a jerk, I think you can, you know, it
absolutely
it helps your cause.
And there's no harm done. I mean, the fact is, if you sit back and you're quiet, even if you don't know a whole lot, by speaking up, you are going to make a difference. You're going to have a conversation that could help other people that are watching that conversation. Odds are you're not going to convince your teacher to all of a sudden discover liberty and reject his socialist ways. But there's a very good chance that you could help influence one of your classmates to perhaps come up and ask you some questions after class and do a little bit of investigation of their own, and that's what's important.
Well, yeah, and it's not all status either. I did run into a couple teachers in high school who I would consider pro-liberty.
Oh, they're out there.
And, you know, and that was refreshing to talk to them about it.
No doubt about it. No doubt. So don't withhold your opinions from the classroom environment because, you know, again, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to kick you out of the government school? Oh, no. Whatever will you do? They're not going to kick you out over saying something in class either.
Well, as long as it's not something, you know, just threatening or vulgar.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone ever suggested that, Mike.
Nope. I'm just making sure that you understand.
And those establishment ideas are establishment now of big government and progressivism. Those were ideas that were a very fringe minority viewpoint, and people talked about them. The progressive movement was named the progressive movement for a good reason. It took, like, 100 years for it really to take full effect. It started in the 1800s, and throughout the century, we've been seeing this creeping socialism, and that's really what it is. They were willing to dig in there and take inch by inch. They didn't need to win big all at once. They just needed to slowly make progress, grow the government, grow the safety net. And that's what they've managed to do. So to reverse that, I mean, there's something to be said for just bringing up your ideas and trying to get more people to see it your way.
So I'd like to discuss that, what you're talking about right there. Now, I've
bringing
said
up
this,
ideas?
No, the idea that socialism and libertarianism sort of have this they sort of share. It's possible that we could share the history of socialism and that socialism's grown. And
that will increase in influence.
And that, therefore, liberty could very well follow the same path. I've said this, and I've sort of thought it in the past, but I'm kind of coming to wonder. Socialism benefits the politicians who would enact the policy. Liberty does not benefit the politicians who would enact the policy. You know, so it would, you know, they're not incentivized in the same way. Certainly a politician can get out in front of a parade and therefore benefit in that respect, but... You know,
that's certainly true. I don't think you should turn to politicians to advance the cause of liberty. I think you can take a political approach, but don't try to turn to career politicians. The only thing they're good for is throwing out of office. that's the. I mean, you're not going to win them over. The people in office right now in Congress, unless they feel that unless they feel that the only way they can hold on to their seat, if they feel that the people in their district want smaller government, and they're going to vote them out unless they start voting that way.
They'll make a change.
Make that change so they can hold on to whatever teensy bit of power they can hold on to.
Right, and then that way they can make some backroom deals and manage to, you know, the little bit of policy they
sure.
do enact,
right.
they can manage to grease their own policy.
With enough pressure, you can influence the career politicians. What's a better bet is to fire them and put somebody like Ron Paul in there, but you have to be careful. I mean, the temptation is always with positions of power, even if it's a person with good intentions, the temptation is always to, you know, take a little bit more, use their influence. So
right.
if you're going to support somebody for office, only do it if, there's somebody who you actually trust they want to reduce the size of government.
They need to sign the small government
right.
pledge
and they're
is what
willing
they need
to do it. Yeah, well, that's an excellent pledge because it makes the intention clear. Why am I running for office? so that my office will hold less power. I mean, just you have to make that your intent from the start and
right.
be serious about it.
Even the around here in Keene, when there was the recent election, I called all of the people that were running for city office and I asked them to sign the small government pledge, which essentially says, I will vote small government every issue, every time, no excuses.
Did you get any signers?
Yes, Julia, my girlfriend, she signed it. But the other guys, even the ones that scored relatively well on the world's smallest political quiz, scored in the libertarian quadrant, they shied away from that. They backed away from it. Well, there might be some instances where we'll need to do this and that. And it was just, you could tell. I mean, it's very clear. If they're serious about reducing government, they'll sign it. If they're not, then they obviously have an agenda.
Well, if you explain it as every issue, every time, but doesn't the small government...
It's every issue, every time.
Doesn't the small government... I'm asking you a question. Doesn't the small government pledge actually say that, you know, essentially you can abide by it by decreasing the net of government? Can you not abide by the small government quiz by decreasing government?
You can't increase a government program. You cannot vote for an increase in
any
in
one
government.
Program. So if I say, well, we need, you know, the town runs the water here and we need some new equipment. So I vote for $150,000 for a water cleaning pumper thing. And whereas I am going to cut out $2 million out of the school budget.
You can go read it for yourself, Mark. I can't say for sure. It's
if it is
fairly lengthy.
If it is, they need to relook at that.
Right. I mean, I think you could take an equally effective pledge, which is I will not vote to grow the size of government. I will not expand the size of bureaucracy. But I can see what you're saying. It could be tricky if... You know, from time to time, you might have a situation like the floods arise, and at least under the paradigm we're in, where the people are going to demand that the government, you know, do something about flooding, you're going to have to, I mean...
What did they do last time?
Well, they set
wait
the fire...
for the water to recede?
Well, they set the firefighters out. Yeah, I mean...
Parades and stuff. And
yeah.
People, bureaucrats running all over, milling about, doing crap.
800-259-9231. All I'm saying is it's a great litmus test because you can immediately gauge their response on taking a serious pledge like that. They're either serious about it or they're not. 1-800-259-9231. Hour 2 is coming up. You can take control of the airwaves. This is Free Talk Live.
Let's face it, the political landscape today is all about blaming the other guy. Democrats blame Republicans, Republicans blame Democrats. But I've got to say, at least they're throwing rocks in the right direction. We libertarians are good about fighting amongst ourselves. It's time to pick a candidate, a serious candidate for president, and start moving forward. That candidate is George Phillies.
This is George Phillies, libertarian for president. I approved of this message, paid for by Phillies 2008.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.